generation of that data, it's probably not going to be a live feed that happens indefinitely. It's probably going to be another static request a year out or something for that data. In other cases, compliance data or something like that that's being used, the opportunity, and Pam might be able to speak to this, the opportunity for more of an API and more of a live feed that people can check in on at their own leisure seems more likely.
So I guess my thought is we've seen a lot of this with all, you know, governments trying to figure out how to put data forward, is that it's put forward in a fashion that's not very usable. And since we're at the beginning of this process, even though you've been talking about it for a long time, it would be very beneficial if we think about how the data is going to be used and how to approach, you know, putting it into a functionality while we're doing this. So I'm very happy to see that you've taken on this task.
Oh, thanks. And that idea of open data came up in our last, maybe the meeting before. There was a lot of discussion about the idea of the connection of this work to this notion of open data, much like what you're describing in terms of governments, and how ICANN can make its data sets more available. And I think that may be a little out of scope for us, because we're really just trying to figure out if we can make the work of work groups more fact-based and more data-based. And I'm worried about opening a can of worms that means that nothing happens, right? Which is
that some sounds frequency. Very unlike you.
What? Not wanting to open a can of worms?
Right. I mean, why not like challenge the groups to say, you know, what is some, you know, what gets measured is what gets done. I think you've probably said that a million times.
Right.
So with, you know, a lot of these organizations here, seeing progress would not only do well internally for ICANN, but externally as well. So I think finding a way to, you know, kind of taking on the idea that you don't have to take on all that workload, but giving them a tool set that they could then, you know, kind of think about as they're going forward on that could be very beneficial cross-functionally.
Just it's a fair thought. Point. I'm scared. That's all.
I don't believe that.
because I'm really excited about this, and so I want work groups. We went through these case studies, and it was so clear that these work groups would have benefited from using real data to determine both the scope of the problem and then later on the success of the proposals that were made. And so I think if we can get that to happen, that would be a very exciting progress. But let's keep the door open to some part of a report also talking about a kind of open data initiative, especially within the functioning aspects of ICANN. So, next, right. So, speaking of scope, where we've kind of talked about it a little bit is also coming up with different worksheets for these groups in the work that they do. So, staff, the sort of Mad Lib part documents that are used to create these things. So, the staff in their issue report, revised worksheets for chartering groups, work groups, and then ultimately creating something new potentially for a theoretical review team. And so that's part of our work product, is coming up with these revised worksheets. And then the second part of our work product would be some kind of data acquisition framework. So from that, there's a series of scenarios that sort of came up out of the use case analysis that we did with the previous work groups, some principles of data collection, non-discrimination, et cetera, and then some methodologies, what we're working on is a kind of a flowchart that is the data available publicly? Yes. Does it cost money? Yes. Then how do we request budget, for example, to purchase the data that's relevant? Is the data not available publicly? Does it need to come from a contracted party? Yes. Does it need to be maintained confidentiality? Yes. Then do we need to get a third party to be the conduit to the data and provide an anonymized version? So that trying to find a flowchart that more often than not will get us to where we have data in hand in the work group, it would be the objective there, and to come up with a methodology and to try and anticipate as many of the roadblocks to data acquisition that might occur in the future. Does that make sense to everyone as far as the set of deliverables and a kind of scope for our work? Come on in, the water's fine. We're talking about metrics and data.
All right, thank you.
Oh, damn, I shouldn't have opened the door. All right. All right, so that's where we are now, and so where we have been focusing our attention in the near term, in the sort of next phase, is actually looking at the issues and challenges associated with data requests specifically to contracted parties. Obviously, they're not the only data source. They're just, I think, the most complex data source. The other data sources are either going to be internally owned data at ICANN that are collected, that are already collected by staff that already exist, or data that we can just make a decision whether or not to purchase. But the issues surrounding requests for data from contracted parties are more complex, and so that's why we've decided to chew on that first. And so I don't think there's another slide, but we have the beginnings of a workflow type of process. But this is where we need to just do some brainstorming and try to understand what some of these barriers are and some of the complexities associated with data acquisition from contracted parties and figure out how to overcome them. So that document that just appeared was a kind of a text-based set of survey questions that you, based on the answers, you would jump to another question. Barry has thoughtfully begun the process of trying to lay that out as a flow chart as well. I think we're trying to bring that up. Yeah, so that no one can read, probably. Is there a way to, are you zooming in a little bit?
I actually unsynced it, but I can sync it.
Just tell me where to go. Oh, what does unsyncing mean? That they can manipulate it themselves?
I think it's better probably that way.
Maybe. I think there's only one, I think there's no one on the Adobe chat, though, unless people inside here are. Oh, there are? Okay. Oh, things changed. All right, so you can see, I guess head up to the top of it, if you will.
Yeah, it's a top.
Are there costs?
Oh, because it's not synced.
Oh, yeah, start, that's what I consider the top. All right, so the work group, recognizes the need for data, and then there's this questions that get asked along the way. Is the data publicly available, right? And if the answer is yes, you see you go down and ask the question, are there costs associated with the data? If there are costs associated with the data, if there aren't, then you just acquire the data. That's the no answer that's down below. But if there are costs, you go to the right. You can see how to read this, right? If costs, commensurate with the benefit. So again, you try to determine what the scope is and what that particular data source might lend to the project and decide whether or not it's commensurate. And if it's not, you look for a lower cost alternative. And if there is one, then go ahead and get it. And otherwise, is there budget allocated? Submit a request to GNSO Council if there isn't budget allocated. If there is, then request a sub-allocation for that particular data source. And if the budget's approved, then you go out and submit it to whoever's going to collect the data. So, I mean, you can sort of get the idea. If you haven't worked with flowcharts before, that's sort of how they work. The diamonds are questions and the squares are actions. Yes, sir?
Can I ask a question? Just a little bit. This is the first time I attend this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I attend this meeting. Okay, so I'm just a little unclear. And I just would like some clarification. The data that you're talking about is the data from GTLD operators, GTLD registry operators. Is that correct? Is that the context?
Well, the context is broader than that. In other words, and it's almost sort of embarrassingly simple. I mean, work groups for the most part have operated without the use of data to date of any sort. It's been everybody's feelings about how things are going and then adopting a policy and then feeling good or bad about the policy later on. That's been how policy's been developed inside of ICANN.
Sure.
So the idea behind the group is to simply inject data in the abstract into that process where appropriate. And so the data that will in fact be used can come from a multitude of sources, depending on the work group. So part of what we're trying to do is figure out what the different scenarios or data usage would be, what the different sources for that data would be, and what the protocols would be for getting access to that data.
Okay.
So in one of the cases is, or two of the cases, you might say, is that it's data from a registry or data from a registrar, but it could be data from the compliance department. It could be data from WIPO about mediation proceedings over trademark claims. It could be data from a statistical, from a public source that's published a survey that's done, on a regular basis, but you have to buy the data. Example.
Okay. I now understand why you have the branch for are there costs associated? Because if it was from just the registries or the registrars, it would be the data required as spelt out in the contracts. So this is extra data, additional data which may come from other sources, which may have a cost associated, which ICANN would have to pay for.
That's right.
But
it's also the case that it may involve data that is not covered by contract.
I understand.
So no, but I mean data from registries and registrars that's not covered by contract.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because there's only some data that is required of the registries and registrars under their contracts.
Okay. And a registry or a registrar may say, well, you can get the data, but it's going to cost you so much.
That's right. Or we can do this, but it's going to cost us so much to provide it, so we need to pass that cost on. Or it could very well be, as Graham has brought up, that data is stored differently by each of them. And so there might be a cost with normalizing the data so that the data from multiple sources can sort of coexist in a statistically interesting way, right? So all those things could have costs associated with them, and we can't automatically make the assumption that we can dump unlimited data requests on contracted parties. I'm hoping that the volume won't be that high, right? And that's part of the conversation that we should probably have today. But so there are non-contract data requests going to contracted parties. If they're contracted data requests, that request may not even go to the contracted parties. It may in fact go to ICANN then, because they've already got the data having requested it previously from the contracted parties.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right.
Question from Adobe.
Yeah, go ahead. What's the question from Adobe?
This is Steve. We have a remote participant question. It's from John McCormick. Question is there any validation/sanity check at the start of the process? Basically, are there good reasons behind asking for data?
Thank you for your question. And I think that would in fact be I'm not sure how a sanity check would take place in particular, but the work group would sit down and try to determine what their scope of work is, particularly the drafting group or the staff before them in the issue paper, and figure out what data is necessary to scope the problem. So, I think it won't be wild requests for data, and I think one of the principles that we would probably build into the framework is to be as specific as possible about data requests so that they're the data that's specifically relevant to the task at hand. Does that answer your question? So they shouldn't be fishing expeditions, I guess, if that's what you mean.
Hi, yeah, this is Graham.
Yeah, please.
Just to jump in there, some sort of gate at that beginning of the process to make sure that we're not griefing contracted parties or something. It's some method that
we're not what?
Griefing contracted, yeah, that it's, we send out all these, basically spurious and difficult requests, and then, registrars or registries look bad all of a sudden because we can't fill them, or we're asking for money to do it, and it's sort of used as a method to, make our lives more difficult. We would need to make sure that those requests are reasonable and legitimate and sensible.
I guess that would need to be part of the remit of that working group to make sure that those requests are legitimate. I don't know if there's any way to have an outside validation of that request, and certainly the whole process would need to be revisited if it was leading to a real high volume of requests, right? But just looking back at the PDPs we have, et cetera, I don't think the volume is such, when data in particular was requested over contracted parties, that it doesn't seem like it would be too much, except in certain cases you said really small ones, et cetera, there maybe needs some allowance on size or something. I don't know. Any other questions? Yeah.
This is Steve. Just a comment to that. You know, in general, in a working group, you're going to have registries and registrars on the actual working group, so they help to be a foil against a spurious request.
That's a good point.
One would hope so. The other one's self-interest.
So I think what we're hoping to do a little bit in this meeting was a little more brainstorming, in particular in the area of contracted parties, but maybe we don't have enough representation to make it any different than any other of our meetings. So we can kind of proceed and maybe continue to have the conversation that we began on the last call, which was about what some of the challenges were, particularly the challenges that Graham brought up in the meeting about, you know, where some of the pitfalls of this approach might be, and figure out how we might address them. Because ideally what we would like is to come up with all those scenarios that we can think of, at least, and figure out ways around them so that we're not, so that we've prepared future working groups as much as possible for these scenarios in the future. So, I mean, one of the things that Graham brought up on the last call had to do with the volume of requests. And so I guess I'm interested in people's perspective on how we create a realistic gate on the volume of requests or what a reasonable gate would be, and because it's a difficult to define thing, and where money might be something that helps to alleviate that burden. So I guess that's a question. As the guy that's in charge of data for a registrar and I guess now also a registry, right? You're a little bit of both? Okay. A registrar, then where are the, you know, what do you think are the gating factors and how many data requests do you think you'd be able to handle? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Thanks. This is Graham for the transcript. That's a difficult question to answer. You know, we're a large registrar. We could, you know, probably accommodate most requests. My concern is mostly for other registrars that aren't so big. And we've talked about this in the past, too, how when, if we're making a data request of contracted parties, I think mostly about registrars, but people from the registries may want to chip in, that there's lots and lots of small registrars, and how would we pick and choose amongst them to submit data, especially when you're looking at, you know, the vast majority of registrations are with, say, the top 10 registrars. So are we just going to be continually asking the same big people, you know, to provide data, or are we going to somehow figure out to sprinkle in some little guys in there, even if they're not capable of doing it? So it's...
Well, because most of them don't even have a position in their company that you occupy at Tucows, right?
I would be surprised if many did, yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? What do you think is the right outcome there? Is it just to go to the top 10 or have an exception case that has to do with a problem that specifically deals with smaller registrars potentially? Or you know, but in most cases, we are just going to the top 10 for these data requests. Is that the most fluid thing? Is that the fairest thing? I mean, do the big guys care if the small guy... You know, there was a non-discrimination principle, but does that type of discrimination just make rational sense and not cause a lot of grief inside your organizations?
Well, it's gonna skew the data if you're only getting it from the same people and they're all big registrars. If you're you know, trying to get the real breadth of whatever issue that is, and you know, if it's like transfers or something, that may be very different between the size of the registrar. See, we do need to figure out a way, I think, to, if we're asking people for data, how to figure out how to ask all of them equally. off the top of my head. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to think about that a bit more and change my mind.
And how do we ask them equally? That's the question, if they're not capable of... Did you have another...
comment.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Steve. Yeah, I guess when I envisioned this, I don't expect us making like specific requests to perhaps the top 10 registrars or registries. It's more of a general request, perhaps to the registry or registrar stakeholder group. So you get... You know, at the end, it is optional. We would love for it to be something that they feel compelled to comply with. But you make a more general request to a larger audience, and then you get volunteers to provide data. So it's not the same parties given the same data, and you being able to glean who it comes from also. Like, that's all.
Yeah, I'm not sure I entirely agree with that. But go ahead.
It's Pam Little. I think it's not just the number of requests, it's also what you are requesting for, right? Whether the data is already available, whether you need to actually collect the data. So I was wondering, in terms of who you go to get requests, whether from top 10 or a kind of a diverse providers.
Okay. I guess we need to pause for a second.
Sorry.
We've lost our recording. Pam, you raised a question about whether or not the data really needed to be collected or something like that. And I guess I'm presupposing that it does, and that we're building into the process questions to find alternative sources for that data, either in the public or through ICANN. So what's the scenario that you're concerned about?
I thought it wasn't just about how many requests a registry or registrar get from the policy working group. It's about the data, the type of data they are requesting, and whether the data is readily available or they have to go and collect the data, and then there's cost and effort involved.
I think what Pam's talking about is the both. You have issues with both the frequency of requests, as well as sort of the magnitude of the request.
Sure. We're making a hypothetical concern here, and I want to make it less hypothetical.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge, because we don't know exactly what data will be requested. So I guess that's a challenge, right?
Sure.
Barry, you want to go?
Well, this is Barry for the secondary transcript recording device. We don't need to play hypotheticals anymore. We've got a real one that's right on the table in front of us. So IRTPD, the last recommendation there specifically brings up future review of the transfer process, which is registration-related type of data. It's not, I don't think it's much for the registries to be concerned about. It's more at the registrar level. But at some point, 14, 15, a year and a half from now, we're going to be needing that data. It's a recommendation that's likely going to be approved by the council, adopted by the board. It's not data that can be collected based on contracts that exist. What's going to happen 18 months from now when we get to that point and we put together some kind of list of requirements on collecting, FOA number of transfers, number of failed transfers, number of times FOA, the form of authorization, messed up the transfer. That's a real world example. It's going to be on our doorstep here very soon. How are we going to first make the request? What happens if the registrars, and I'm not trying to single out registrars here, but it is, what happens if you say no? And, to Jonathan's point, we're right back at square one again. I think it's one of those areas, and I understand the sensitivities about sharing this data, and I think that there are ways around it, the normalization, the anonymization of it. A lot of it is as well to do with the budget aspects, who's going to pay for it. But even if ICANN were to pony up the tab for a third-party source to do all of those things for the data, there's still costs associated to the contracted parties to spend resources to go get it as well. But anyway, to close this off, we've got a real-world example in front of us. Let's keep that in mind, or certainly any of the previous working groups that were PEDNR-related. We can get into some hypotheticals about the registries, with 100 or almost 1,000 new registry operators 2 years from now. I can certainly foresee some kind of policy development in the future where it's going to, and it's going to be beyond what the registries provide on a monthly basis to ICANN. So anyway, I'll stop there.
The one silver lining we have on that particular question of registries is the new contract does specify in somewhat abstract form, data necessary for the review of the new GTLD program, which is supposed to at least happen over the next few years. So there'll be at least some amount of compelling of data that might happen in that particular case. But the RTPD is a good example. Go ahead.
Do we have internet? It would be handy to actually find the language that was submitted in IRTPD. You would think I would have that handy because I was in there, but I can't get at it, it would seem. I had another sort of specific example that's occurring more or less at the moment that I thought I would share because I thought it was somewhat interesting. Within the Privacy and Proxy Issues Accreditation Working Group, there was a request in there for providers of privacy and proxy services and who are also a member of that working group to see if they could gather statistics or data on how many and of what type requests our compliance desks are getting for domains for the revealing of registrant information behind domains in a privacy and proxy service. And it turns out, in for this particular, and that seems like a reasonable sort of request. Or say, so we have this problem, you know, how what kind of requests are you getting, and how do you characterize them? But it requires that all of the registrars or service providers in that working group be sort of operating in a ticketing system for their compliance desk that has enabled some sort of reporting, and that the flags on those sorts of tickets where it's a compliance issue related or it's a abuse complaint related to a privacy domain, and they captured as part of that ticket in a way that's searchable and retrievable and not in a text field, you know, the outcome of what that was, whether they revealed some information or they passed it on. And it turns out in those sorts of scenarios that the flags we need and the information we need to operate the compliance desk smoothly and go through, increase our throughput of issues is not the same data that's required for being useful in a working group. So there are things that are requested and just never captured or not captured in a way that are particularly meaningful. And then the other part of that whole process that I also thought was interesting and should have been done, and this maybe may not be a popular opinion, was that request is sort of the other side of a particular issue where data should be requested not from contracted parties in this case, but from in this particular case, it's the brand protection people within mostly the BC and the IPC who are saying they have a problem that they cannot get at. They have bad actors in the privacy and proxy space. You know, they're trying all the time to get at registrant information. And we don't ever have a sense of the scale of that problem. And so us as registrars, we want to make sure that we're building solutions that are appropriately sized to the scale of the problem. But the problem is coming from members of the community, and it is anecdotal. And it's really useful always to make sure that before we're, you know, requiring stuff from contracted parties, that we make sure that the problems that we've focused on are actually meaningful, statistically significant, or however I should be phrasing it in here.
No, right, and as a member of the IPC, I understand where you're coming from, and I guess that...
I agree, but it's also not all that different from registrars who operate extremely differently, all have different help desks, and so what is perceived to be from contracted parties in this particular case is essentially anecdotal stuff that we're trying to pull out of text tickets and things like that, that it's not outrageously different from the anecdotal stuff that different IPC members or, you know, members within that community have. And so there needs to be some recognition, I would think, that it's not just that registrars are all sitting on top of lots of hard data about every single problem, and that may turn out to be somewhat anecdotal, but it might be worth still doing. But the other side of that problem too is that there are, you know, there needs to be some method of making sure that that problem is real.
Yes, I just want to comment on that. Perhaps there is a, in our recommendation, there needs to be one step where you determine where is the most appropriate data source or where to request the data. Mm-hmm. And also in relation to what Barry just said, that example he gave, the ARTP Part D transfer-related registration data, I think that, to me, goes to prove my point. Is it's a concrete example you said that. So, it, bang, I can, as a registry or registrar, I probably have a much better sense whether I can provide the data, whether that data is available and how much effort is, or time is going to take me to provide that data. Otherwise, we're talking about very vague concept of registration-related data. It is very broad, right? But if you talk about, you narrow down the data, you want the data sets, then it's much easier for a registry and registrar to be able to say, to respond or react.
Without question, right? Better defined data requests are going to be the ones that are easier to manage. So the question is just trying to figure out what scenarios we might anticipate. I mean, if the answer is that this working group should request that data during its work in order to suss out the process, we could try to do that, right? I mean, if having a real example, then we could try to determine the type of data that would get requested and make that request, and then we'll encounter barriers. It might seem like a lot of make work to the parties involved, but it might be a way to suss out some of the challenges that are faced and come up with scenarios for ways to do it, is to actually make that data request. I don't know, is that a crazy idea? Barry, go ahead.
Just to respond to that, I think the working group can certainly entertain that, but it's slightly cart before the horses. We do need to have the recommendations approved by the board first and let them become real before we start going to, because the council is just going to be voting on the IRTPD recommendations during the meeting. It's going to be a couple of months before the board finally passes them, and then it gets turned over to staff for implementation. But that's something that the working group can definitely entertain. Just to respond back to Graham about the privacy proxy, wholeheartedly agree. And I think part of what we're trying to accomplish here is staff doing a better job of identifying the substance and the scale of an issue out there. I'm not as close to privacy proxy, and I'd have to go scrub the original issue report. But I'm fully supportive of the fact that once that was identified as the issue, that, you know, and the issue report is being generated, that staff reach out to the intellectual property trademark people and understand their problem and the scale of that problem. Because if it did turn out that it's, and I'm theorizing here, but if it was only 0.0005% of the time that this is an issue based on everything else going out there, then maybe it's not worthy of creating a PDP or not. You know, again, that's just speculation. So I think that that's part of one of our outcomes of this working group. And when we go, once we've kind of completed this part and go back to look at the work products that traverse the process through the policy development, issue report, charter, final report, the issue report is on the staff side. So that's certainly where we want to see improvement there as well.
This is Steve. There's actually a comment from remote participant John McCormick. Some of that IP infringement data is actually easy enough to generate via alternative methods, identifying iffy IPs, data centers, registrars. Close comment.
That's right. And again, I think it's important to remember that part of what we're trying to do is just change the culture of the working group to be more data-driven to begin with. And so step one of this would always be to identify what the best source of the data would be. So if it's available through other sources, then let's get it. I'm just brainstorming here, but I mean, some of the case studies that we went through, Barry, at the first phase, maybe we don't actually need to get the data, but should we try to formulate requests for that data as if we were those working groups to the people that would provide it and get what your reaction would be in theory if you received such a request. Does it make sense to try to do something like that that made it more real? If part of the conversation we're having is too abstract, we do have these use cases, these case studies that we did, where data would have been useful had it been requested. Should we try to formulate a data request and then get your reaction to that? Yes, I could give you this data, but it would take this long. Or yes, I could give you this data, but it would cost this much. Or small guys wouldn't have this data. Or we don't have the data properly formatted. Or is it worth that amount of effort to kind of understand the ones that we looked at before and how that process would have gone had we gone through the process of requesting data? Does that make sense, you guys? Barry, go ahead.
I mean, just to respond, again, this is up for the working group to decide, but, you know, that's certainly one way forward, and, you know, the Pedner working group is a perfect example. In fact, it's that working group that really spawned this whole idea for the most part. I mean, again, this came out of the registration abuse policies, but Pedner was going on at the same time, and, it did lead to consensus policy, which is what is now is ERRP, but it was a very sensitive topic and an emotional debate back in the Pedner working group about the sensitivity of that data and the expiration of names. That's what we're trying. The goal of what we're trying to accomplish here is to try to mitigate what happened back then, and you know. There will be future policy development processes that get spun up that will have those same kind of sensitivities back then.
Sorry. What is your reaction to that idea?
If we're going to try something like that, my thought would be to try something that's ongoing rather than, you know, the PDP that's already been completed. Because to me, that might be more useful exercise than kind of the past PDP that's already gone and passed. I suspect this, if there was sensitivity then, there'll be more sensitivity now.
I guess that doesn't bother me necessarily, right? I mean, that's what we're trying to do is confront those sensitivities and figure out how to mitigate them. So, I mean, the problem with something ongoing is that then puts our noses into the work of an ongoing work group or something like that, which feels very outside our remit, right, to do that. And so if these are established processes that happened and we go back to what the process would have been to create the issue report, to charter the group, to scope the problem, et cetera, and just fast forward that to today and try to go through that exercise in a couple of cases, it might you know, lead to some valuable discourse that will help us suss out some of the scenarios that might occur in the future. I don't know.
And you know, it's Barry for the record again. You know, I, again, having lived Pedner, and I look at this flowchart right here, and at least within this draft, you know, if we tried to go back in time, little circle Z right there in the center would be immediate. Is this request accepted? No. Boom. End of process, which is obviously what we're trying to correct here. But, you know, I think maybe that is a very good idea, is that we've kind of bring this previous exercise to the forefront. We'll, you know, it's kind of a use case 2.0, and talk, you know, highlight what that particular working group was specifically looking for at the time, which in a general nature was the expiration of names and what happens with those names when they hit after the redemption grace period and all the way up until they to the pending delete, we rephrase that request and then pass that use case back to the registrar or stakeholder group and both the registries, even though that doesn't necessarily affect the registries, and have you guys deliberate on how you would approach that again. You know, I, because the reason why it was so sensitive is because it changed. It had the potential to fundamentally change the business models of many registrars out there, and it was only through kind of a pivot exercise, if you will, that's the reason why the survey got created that helped provide the working group enough of information to create a set of recommendations that became the ERRP. But, you know, in the end, those that were pushing for reform and change, which was spawned mostly out of the ALAC, and certainly I believe the IPC and the BC had supported at the time, you know, those recommendations or the consensus that was derived from that group, in many of their opinions, still didn't go far enough. But it did move the needle. And just again, to reiterate or remind from previous, you know, staff is working on an exercise to get before and after data specifically around PEDNR. And as I mentioned previously, you know, it looks like it's a pretty positive change as to once that policy's been implemented. So hopefully staff will be able to share that probably at the November GNSO council meeting, and you know, be able to release that to the GNSO so that they can chew on that for a little bit. And at least by everything I've seen thus far, I'd consider it kind of a shiny star on the PDP process, and that, you know, the implementation of that policy did make positive change. So, thank you.
Other people have thoughts on this? I mean, it feels like we're picking on the two of you, but that's just because what we chose to talk about today, I guess. So, but I mean, I would be interested in people's feedback on the idea of gaming this a little bit and trying to figure out with some of the past examples, so that we can make this a less abstract exercise, because that seems to be the primary objection in a way, which is, well, I don't know what you're going to request, or I don't know what kind of data it's going to be, but if we can make a request, you don't have to actually go get the data, but just try to figure out how you would respond to it, and what under what conditions would you be willing to provide it, right? What would need to be in place, and give thought to that so that we can kind of build it into our framework. Does that make sense? Are you game? I know you're not thrilled, but are you game? I think this also has the benefit of decreasing some of the heat associated with these things in the future too, when it really is a hot issue, when people and tempers really are flaring. I mean, we can do this in somewhat cooler circumstances right now than we could then, and we don't actually need the data, right? We just need to figure out how to suss out the process.
It's Pam Little. I think the registry stakeholder group came up with some proposed principles, right? And they might sound a bit defensive, but I will be interested to see whether the registrar stakeholder group had a chance to discuss or come up with some framework or principles. Because I suspect they have more customer-oriented data, and will be even more sensitive in some cases than registry's data.
Those kinds of principles, and again, I've stated my desire to minimize the number of things we list as principles and build as many of them into process as possible, right? But, I mean, you know, some of them are going to remain as principles, and that maybe some of those will come to the surface from an exercise like this. There you go. He's been.
I'm not going to say no. I also don't represent all the registrars, you know.
You do today.
Informally. Yay!
McKaylee, if you're ever reading this.
He'd be game.
Sure. I mean, we can take a crack at this and see how it goes. I'm not responsible for any irate registrars that come.
Send them my way.
Yeah.
I'm ready to have the conversation. I'll talk McKaylee into it for sure. Yes, sir.
This is Steve for the transcript. I like the concept of this exercise. I think one of the other things that might be an outcome is that you see that not all the data requests necessarily go to the registries and registrars. So if you see like IGO or consider IGO, INGO, we're actually probably going to make a data request to NAF to
WIPO, to the ECOSOC group, so that I think it's a good way to see that. It's not just you guys that are going to get picked on necessarily. It's other data sources might get picked on. Thanks.
Has any thought been given to...
Theo Kramer. Has any thought been given to automated data requests, ongoing automated data requests, and any kind of protocol around this?
No.
Thank you.
As an answer to whether that would happen.
And just to piggyback on what Steve was saying, and this goes to ICANN as well, because certainly there, you know, is ICANN internal through contractual compliance or the GDD team. You know, there are data sources there as well. And in fact, the principles that we've kind of discussed in previous meetings or whether we want to move forward with them or not, some of those could even apply. For instance, a future working group wanting solving issue X, and issue X requires a somewhat of an analysis where the audit data that contractual compliance performs on registries and registrars, not all of that is released publicly, but perhaps there could be information that could better inform a future working group on that. Certainly there would be sensitivities to that data, and so I could see that the working group would want to have that data anonymized as well, so any one registrar or registry isn't picked on. In fact, that's kind of one of the principles within the consumer metrics for the AOC review. You know, the intent of that data is to look at it at the aggregate or at the macro level, and it's not meant to be a compliance exercise against any one registry or registrar that's might not be performing up to speed. So it is definitely not just contracted parties we're here, you know, focusing on here. A lot of this applies to ICANN as well as third party. So thank you.
Well, that's right. In fact, that was a very hotly debated and carefully guarded precept within that AOC CCT team, was that it's not in any way meant to be a name and shame exercise or something like that, but just to deal with aggregate data, because there were certainly folks within that team that were hoping that this would become, you know, a way to single out, you know, malefactors, and we want to make sure that that wasn't the process there. So probably as part of this exercise, we should try to construct a data request to compliance as well to get an understanding of what that process would be like. I mean, I feel like it's more straightforward if it's just data that's for sale, then the process is just about getting the money out of the board to approve that purchase. But let's look at these different use cases we came up with and try to construct a dummy data request and try to work it through the process to see where the objections are and what would be involved. If there aren't objections, I think that would be something that might be worth trying to do. And then we can suss this out a little further. We have more to go into this document, too, of just things that we've thought of in theory, but we can certainly stress test, as Steve Del Bianco likes to say, we can stress test this framework by running it through its paces, potentially. And did you... did we have captured what some of the other issues were that I remember Graham raising in the... one had to do with volume requests, one had to do with size. I don't know if you remember them, but you listed them off on a call at one point. I don't know if we had them in.
Say a lot of things.
I know. That's why we keep a transcript. It's just for you. You're going to keep your Graham's transcript. But,
I mean, I don't have it handy. I would imagine it would be two.
This is Steve. I don't have it handy, but... we could perhaps look at Pam's list. I wouldn't imagine it would be terribly different. It's at least a point of...
Well, that was a principles document that was interesting. We can kind of go through that. I mean, maybe we can try to get to... I mean, we just have 10 minutes left. But I actually feel strangely good about this conversation that we've had today. So, but we can look at that principles document if you have it handy.
I do. That's not it.
Yeah, that was the process flow one. All right, yeah. Can you blow it up, maybe, or... So, oh, Pam, go ahead, sorry.
Okay, Pam Little. Question for Steve. I think we had a couple more points or additional comments or feedback from the registry stakeholder group, right?
Yeah, this is Steve. Thanks. I think you're right. I think it's an older version that was just left over in the Adobe Connect room, so
it's okay.
I can try to dig out the newer version.
Great.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if these are things that sort of require brainstorming, or if they're just things that we might just strawman out a lot of them, of trying to incorporate some of them. Because again, I think it's a question of what are the scenarios under which data needs to be anonymized. I know one of the things Graham raised was about whether or not if there were too few people responding to the data request, or the size differential was such that it would in effect be discernible, you know, where the data came from, what registrar it came from, or something like that, and how to protect against that. And I don't have a good answer to that challenge necessarily. But that is one of the things that came up, is how do we make it sufficiently aggregated or sufficiently anonymized when it's coming from a few parties that we're already aware of. Yeah, we're very proud of ourselves by comparison here. Exactly, we've limited the fisticuffs. So I guess I'm looking at these principles, and some of these will survive as principles, I think, and some of them I think we'll try to build into scenarios. Should be provided as anonymous and aggregated unless agreed to by the data provider. Again, I think the idea is to make that a request, that it be anonymized or aggregated, and then we respond to that request, usually by finding a way to do that. And whether or not there needs to be a third party to handle the data because they're concerned about it going directly to ICANN, again, that kind of a request would result in trying to request budget for a third party to handle the data, for example. So that's what I mean by turning them into process, and whereas preserving some of them as even like figuring out what the minimum data is to get the job done, I think should be part of the process as well, right? So some of those kinds of are questions that will happen as part of this flow diagram that we're working on. And I'm just trying to see if there's any that we should brainstorm about, but I'm not seeing any. So I think we should continue our work to try to work out the straw man from these, and we'll continue to do that. And then on top of that, let's start to look at what some data requests might look like based on past things. And I think that might be our go forward. We'll continue to work on the straw man. As the straw man evolves, I'll get it to you and Pam and others to begin to run by your constituencies too. Okay. Well, we may be done today then. Thanks, everyone. Great meeting. Appreciate it. And I'll find some way to get a recording off of these devices for you.
And just as a heads up, we'll probably schedule the next meeting for the 28th of October.
All right, that sounds good.
Little post I can.
Exactly.